Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for his goodness, faithfulness. What a wonderful day we had Sunday. It was just pretty incredible. And then we started a week with conference, and I would be in conference tonight, but I need to be here. And so I'll be teaching again tomorrow night. And some of the people, actually, Bob came up to me before service and made reference to something I was teaching last night and surprised me, so it was great. So it was good to see some people in our congregation making access to the Brazilian conference is what I'm talking about. So I hope some of you that are watching, maybe you've took the address down Sunday when we made reference to it, and so there's three or four more nights that'll go through Saturday evening. I am so glad on very busy weeks like this that I have an awesome man to turn to, a helper, a co-pastor, you could go on and on, whatever. Titles are not much around here. You can buy them with 50 cents and, have a quarter left over. So, but I really appreciate Dr. Homero and his beautiful wife and so we're going to just ask him to come and minister the word, and I appreciate his ministry. So, amen. Let's give him a great big hand.
We all got a nice, royal, loving spanking about, I think everybody got a little bit that Sunday. A lot of people called me regarding that service. I didn't hear one complaint about that service. It was extremely anointed. I've been wanting to preach Titus 2 for a long time, but I couldn't do it in love. So that's why he never let me. For 2 years I've had that sermon in Titus 2, but I could never do it because I just couldn't do it. But he did a great job, and what a wonderful service, and what a nice crowd we had Sunday, and my Nathaniel's mother-in-law got born again. He really got born again, and my wife's sister got born again Sunday, and I heard another little kid, not little kid, I don't know how old he was, but he got born again. So, amen, we got three added. We got three added to the kingdom of God. It's incredible. That's awesome. But I'm glad to be here. It's by the grace of God that I'm here. Only me and Pastor know what that means. I'm here. I won't go into detail about yesterday, but I'm here. And you know what? Just real quick, I'm going to get on with the lesson here shortly. But about a month ago, I was in a wheelchair. I could walk about 0 miles an hour. I mean, I had just to tell you and teach you. I had a what did I have, baby? A sciatic nerve, but it was a bulging disc and a pinched nerve, which is a sciatic nerve. And we went, the hospital had me go to this place, but we went to the wrong doctor. We went to where did we go, sweetheart? I forgot everything already. They sent me to a neurosurgeon. My wife took me to a what? Big name. Well, we went to the wrong doctor. But they took an x-ray of me. They said, now that you're here, now that you're approved, let's x-ray your hip. I said, my hip's not the problem. So they x-rayed my hips. Oh, sir, you got hip arthritis. You can need cortisone shots and maybe a hip replacement. So he said, you got a double whammy. He said, you got bulging disc, pinched nerve, and you got hip arthritis. You're going to need therapy, maybe cortisone shots, and, maybe a hip replacement. That was about a month ago. I could barely walk. I was in excruciating pain, a lot of pain. Oh, my. Crying, weeping pain. So I went to the doctor. When I left the hospital, they said, no, you got a real bad bulging disc, and you're gonna have to go see the neurosurgeon. But I didn't go see a neurosurgeon. We made an appointment, but I canceled it, and I called Pastor Bronk. I said, Pastor, I know he researches stuff a lot. I know he does a lot of research, and he won't give you any research that he's done unless he believes in it. I said, do me a favor, man. I know you, because Can you go online and see if you can find any exercises that can help a person with a bulging disc and a pinched nerve? And about an hour later, he texts me and says, yeah, I found some stuff. And he texted me the exercises, the video. My wife went through the video and showed me the exercises. And man, no neurosurgeon, no cortisone shots, no therapy, just stretchings. I went from 0 miles an hour to the wheelchair. Today I'm almost back to form. I did a full hour now on the treadmill today for 3.4 miles an hour. That's slow compared to where I used to be at, but I couldn't walk, man, without pain a month ago. You have no idea the pain that I was in. I would cry at night, even moving, and then I could have gone from then, and that's a pretty decent walk, 3.4 miles an hour. But I could walk 3.7, 3.8. That's moving. I could have probably done it today, but I'm taking it back real slow. So from 0 miles an hour on a wheelchair to 3.4 for an hour easily, it's just incredible to me. And then the hip, and you can. And praise God for doctors. This is not what I'm going to talk about. Praise God for doctors. Some of them already try. Some of them just default that you need this, you need that. And sooner or later, you just got to laugh and just believe the gospel. Just got to laugh. Just got to flat out laugh and say, look, either I'm going to go by my emotion, or I'm going to quote and believe that himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. And by his stripes, we were healed. What am I going to do? Give myself to a narrative or give myself to the revelation of his word in my spirit? So I go home. I mean, every night before I lay down, I come up with a confession in my mind or decree. I'll go to sleep. Just last night, my confession was this, and I went to sleep with it. I said, Lord, I'm a bondservant of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Himself took my infirmities, bore my sickness, and by his stripes we were healed, to the glory and praise of God. I just went to sleep saying it just over and over again. And all I can tell you is I have a bulging disc. I got a little bit of my hip, but I couldn't move a month ago, man. No needles, no surgery, no nothing. And that same victory that I have over my hip and my back, you know, you feel inside of your spirit without solicitation that goes for the rest of your body. It's just a matter of time till you believe the gospel. Gary Carpenter said, God just wants us to believe the gospel. That's all he wants. Wants us to believe the gospel. Amen. And so I wake up every morning, I believe the gospel, and I believe it more and more every day. But make no mistake, without prayer, without fasting, without the word, without worship, without the things that the word of God teaches us to do, you won't believe the gospel more and more every day. You'll be stagnant. So you got to enforce the fasting, the praying in the spirit, having the Holy Ghost edify you, the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, I thank gospel, man. Amen. I thank gospel. I thank mercy and compassion. I thank love. If the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think that in my heart, then I'm going to be what the word of God says I can be. Yes. Amen. Yes. I think it's Proverbs 18 that says, a man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And by the increase of his words, he is filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they which love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can dwell on a narrative from the coconut, or you can take God's word out. I think it's the book of Judges, chapter 1. He said, let the law of God not depart from your mouth. Is Judges 1. No, not Judges 1. What was it? Chapter 1 of something. He said, Joshua chapter 1. Let the law of God not depart from your mouth. Not just your heart. Put it in your mouth and speak it, man. Speak it. So I just speak it. I just do what we're taught. It's one thing to believe it, but why not confess what you believe? Or instead of giving yourself to a narrative and to contradiction that wants to contradict the word of God in us. Amen. So saying that, I'll say this. I want to name this message the gospel of the kingdom, and in parentheses the word absolute. I knew I was going to, pastor give me about a week's notice to preach today, and I thought I was going to minister on the book of Philippians. Philippians has really been opening up to me. But yesterday in dialysis, just the book of Romans to an extent started. I just felt it in my spirit, and I'm not going to teach on Romans. I'm going to just use just one verse for about 5 minutes, just talk about my past a little bit. You don't know why I'm talking about my past. I'm saying that to set something up. Now, I believe my opinion, and I asked an elder of mine yesterday, I said, how many people do you really believe know that they're righteous? Now, people will say they're righteous, but how many do you actually know that really believe that they are righteous in spirit? Even on your worst hair day, if you are a born-again believer, you are righteous. You might not feel righteous, but that doesn't negate the absolute. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. That word made in the Greek is G2525. It's to become. The word righteous means to become just and holy. So by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. Boy, isn't that true? I know all about that one. I was a sinner. The Bible says in 1 John, love not the world or the things in the world. When I was a sinner, I loved the world and I loved the things of the world. And I was good at it along with some of you. By default, I was a hellion. I inherited that from Adam and from his lovely spouse, being born in spiritual death. Some say when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Adam and I'm going to punch him right in his mouth. So is Jesus going to punch us in the mouth for not getting it right here? No, probably not. But we have been made righteous. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, my friend, you are righteous. But you got to live out righteousness. Now, people, they think because they live righteousness that they're righteous. No, 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 no. You live righteousness because you are righteous. You're not under Mosaic law. You don't do something to be this. No, no, no. Because Christ dwells in you, you work righteousness. That's why Christians, when they fail, they tear themselves up. They feel bad about what they said or did. It's good to repent. We got to repent. But when a Christian misses the mark and don't do righteousness or don't fulfill righteousness, they beat themselves up. Why? Because they think they're righteous by what they do. No, no. He made you righteous. He made you holy, blameless, and without reproach in his sight if you continue in the faith of the gospel or not moved away. He made you righteous. Nothing you can do or I can do can make me more righteous. I live a righteous life because he made me righteous. So living a life of righteousness, it's what we do because we're born of God. And I don't think many in the body of Christ realize that they are righteous. That's why people live their mind according to what they feel, because what they feel is stronger than the revelation of who they are in Christ inside of themselves. That's why I think the church is empty many a time, because people live their life defeated and they think they are what they feel. But you're not what you feel. God, if I was what I feel sometimes, I wouldn't even come to church at all. But we default to what we feel in a mind instead of spiritually defaulted to who we are in spirit and what the Word of God says. I hate to use that word spiritual default. It sounds kind of legalistic, but look, we're sons of God. By the obedience of one man, many were made righteous. You know what we are? We are the many that have been made righteous. And I really believe that the majority in the body of Christ do not realize that they are righteous in spirit. If we knew, not by nothing that we did, that's by grace alone, by the blood of the Lamb, and by his life being in me, I'm righteous. So even when I have an attitude, I get mad about the attitude, it still doesn't mean that I'm not righteous, because Christ lives in me. Now I've got to repent of my attitude. But even on your worst day, if you are truly born again, man, you are righteous, man. Christ lives in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Him we preach. Listen to that. We know that Christ is seated at the right-hand side of the Father. The man Christ is not inside of you. The Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God is inside of you. But yet, Paul used a personal, don't tell me this walk of Christ's Spirit being in me is not personal. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Him, we use a personal pronoun. Let me tell you, the apostles walked with Christ. We have Christ in us. They don't have one up on us. It's equivalent. Because Paul used a personal pronoun concerning your born-again experience, man. This walk is deep, and it's true, and it's sincere. And if we get it right, we will never, ever be the same. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Him we preach. Use a personal pronoun to identify what lives inside of us, man. This is a real walk for real people to get it right through the righteousness of God that's inside of us. I tell you, we are powerful in Christ Jesus. You are not what your mind says that you are, what your mind says you're not. You are a child of God based on God's word and based on that spiritual DNA inside of you. You are a child of God. Don't you ever cut yourself short, man. No matter how much you feel or what you did here, what you did, you are a child of God. Why? Because I say so? No. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says so. Yes. And because the rebirth says so. And because the blood of Jesus says so. Because his life in you says so. You are righteous. You're just and you're holy. Your inner man is holy because of what Jesus did and because of what you believed. You didn't do nothing to be righteous. You just believed. You were made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? If we can understand that, we will never, ever, ever, ever be the same. We won't live in constant, consistent defeat all the time, thinking that we are who our mind says that we are. No, 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 no. You are who the Word of God says that you are. I don't care how many times you get it wrong. You better be repenting if you get it wrong. But you are righteous. It's not what you do that doesn't make you righteous. It's what you believe that make you righteous. Jesus Christ, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You, my friend, my brother, you are righteous because the Bible says you are. Are you with me? If the body of Christ could comprehend that and understand that, we wouldn't live in defeat all the time. You are righteous. Instantly upon regeneration, and I'm going to move on. I just want to lay this foundation. Being born again is such a powerful, powerful, powerful origin. It's a powerful beginning. righteousness takes us into all that we want in God. It can take us from setting us free from sin to martyrdom, man, to giving it all we got. So being set free from sin is a powerful origin. Listen to me. It's a powerful beginning. Pastor said 2 or 3 years ago, don't be happy just because you can overcome sin. That's part of the rebirth, man. We got to take it one step further. And then one step further, we got to go to 30, 40, 50, 60, 100-fold. For what? For the glory of the kingdom. For the glory of the kingdom. You are a son of God. Now, you'll see where I'm going with this in a little bit. How? Let me talk about this powerful origin for about 2 or 3 minutes. How do you stop smoking crack, snorting coke, giving those salty dogs, giving up pornography, dirty music, and loving your wife in 1 minute? Wow, because born again is a powerful origin. It's a powerful beginning. We didn't do any favors by not committing adultery on your wife anymore after you got born again. No, no, that's who you were created to be. So we take that powerful origin and we grow in it. We grow. For what reason? For the glory of the kingdom. To see the fullness of the kingdom made manifest in this world. The kingdom of God is not just word, man. Just preaching of the word is not going to change this country. This country's lost. Boys have been turned into girls. Mutilation. The nuclear family is being destroyed. Now, Easter is celebrated now as Transgender Visibility Day. I don't get into politics much, but I like what Trump said the other day. He said November 5th is going to be Christian Visibility Day. I heard him say that. Christian Visibility Day. Whether he means it or not, I don't know. I don't know him. He might have had a conversion lately. I don't know. But he did say that November 5th, Election Day, is going to be Christian Visibility Day. So we'll see that. I liked hearing that. Whether he meant it or not, I like it. So we progress from a powerful origin of the rebirth to being made righteous through the obedience of one man. We progress from that. I don't think anybody in here is struggling with fornication or drug abuse or the ugly stuff. I don't think anybody, now you just never know nowadays, but I don't think anybody's struggling with that. And I think we got clean people in here. I think their hands are clean. I think everyone in here is clean today. But righteousness and being born again is a powerful origin, a powerful beginning. We can't live our whole life just trying to overcome sin. Look, we're born again. Him who the Son has set free is free indeed. So we're born of God. We overcome sin. We know that. That was the first week of our regeneration, man. So now we progress. Progress into what? Well, we know there's more. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts, we know there's more. There's no way you can't see more if you keep the Bible in context and you read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. Listen, we don't give ourselves over to logic. We don't give ourselves over to, we pray for somebody, they don't get healed. We don't change the doctrine of the New Testament. You can't change it. Okay, I say crazy stuff that I'm going to see again. We're not going to change the doctrine that everyone that came before Christ received their healing because I can't see yet. Jesus wants us to believe the gospel. It's not his fault that we don't believe it. So we pray, we fast, we give ourselves over to God to grow in grace, to nurture that spirit, and to put to death the deeds of the body. We don't change the New Testament. We don't change, we don't add logic to what the Bible says. No, no, no. We pound the Bible. We read the Bible and we die believing the Bible. Another non-denominational church, another Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, a Methodist, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how much their pastor wants to change the Bible. We're not going to change it here. The Word of God is absolute. It is absolute. The Holy Ghost gave it to Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied it, and Jesus fulfilled it. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sin. That is past tense. I am a recipient of that verse. The Holy Ghost gave it to Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied it. Jesus fulfilled it, and I am a recipient of Matthew chapter 8. I'm a recipient of it. Himself took, that's past tense. He took my infirmities and bore my sins, and by his stripes we were healed. I'm a recipient of it. I don't care what you say. You might think I'm crazy. I'm not going to change the gospel to fit a narrative or to fit a contradiction. The gospel is the gospel. It's been compromised and chopped up by too many in the church. Everywhere you go, every denomination has chopped it up and they compromise because of what they don't see and the results that they can't comprehend. The gospel is the gospel. I believe one day, not one day even now, that I'm going to see my wife again. I believe that I used to jog 7 miles in 1 hour on the treadmill. I believe I'm going to do that again. That's my confession. That's my decree. I will not, neither will Pastor Bronk, change the gospel to meet what we don't see in result. We keep plowing, we keep praying, we keep fasting. For what reason? To see the fullness of the kingdom made manifest. Revival. Period. Not just a word revival. Praise God for every person that gets born again. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you one thing. If you think God wants to get them born again and not heal them out of their pain, you're crazy. You don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know him. Well, God just got them saved, but they're in excruciating pain, facing, my speech is a little funny today, facing death. And you think God's okay with that? No, no, no. He said, Homer, will you just fast a little bit more? Will you die a little bit more, Homer, to see my glory? Will you just read a little bit more, Homer, just to grow in grace? Will you just come away with me, Homer? Will you give me all that you got so that I can pour my spirit in so you can be used by the Holy Ghost to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Will you do it, Homer? Will you surrender your life to me? I think I'm ready to surrender all that I got to him. That's been my prayer. That's been my confession. There's a lot of need. A lot of hurting people. I weep when I go to dialysis. The people that are there, I pray for them almost every day that I can think of. I pray for them all the time. But man, I want results, man. And praise God for the results. We are getting results. My hip and my back are a result. Man, but I want the gospel manifest. I want it manifest, man. So it's nice that the word of God is absolute to the extent that we've been made righteous, but it's absolute even when it comes to revival. Not just absolute that he set me free from sin. It's absolute that he wants the kingdom manifest. It doesn't change because the fullness hasn't come. It doesn't change because 10, 20% of whatever people we're praying for are getting healed. It doesn't change. The gospel is the gospel. And we got to esteem it as the gospel. As the true gospel that is completely 1,000% absolute. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Now you heard me talk about a powerful origin. Born again, made righteous by the obedience of one man. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. By the obedience of one man, shall many be made righteous. The word made is the word become. The word righteous is the word holy and just. So because of what Jesus did on Calvary, we've been made righteous. Made. We're on this side of the cross. We're born again of God, the saints before the cross. It was just an accounted right. It was just accredited righteousness to them, not to us. When we give our life to Jesus, bam, buddy, we're righteous right there on the spot. Why? Because we're the product of the finished work of the cross. We are born again. So we progress in our faith. We progress in our walk with God. We progress in our love walk with God. So 1 John chapter 3 says this. Starting in verse 16. We're talking progression here. You hear me quote, say the word absolute. You know God's word is, say amen with me. God's word is absolute. Amen. Absolute. Amen. So 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, as we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Now, let's get this right. You might have somebody that you might want to purposely be nice to. Oh, I need to improve my love. Let me pick on Harry. I need to improve my love walk towards Harry. If you try to improve your love walk towards Harry without submitting to the Lamb of God, you're going to love Harry for a little bit till he gets on your nerves again. That's called phileo love. That's a humanistic kind of love. If you try to love him outside of loving him before you love him, you're not going to love him very long till you fall in love with him. You fall in love with him, by default, you'll love him. Because you can't love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and not love your brother. It's one thought, man. It's one thought. You love the Father. You'll love somebody 3,000 miles away if you're loving the Father. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I want us to concentrate on this a little bit. And hereby know we that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before us. For our heart condemn us. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Listen up now. Listen. If our heart condemn us not, listen, the immutability. This is my hope. This is what keeps me going in all that I've been through. The immutable, sovereign, the powerful, absolute word of God keeps me going. I heard a song today. I played it on my playlist today. A little hot on the treadmill, so I put a little bit of Hammer, the song Pray. Then I put another song on, just hit it on repeat, Survivor. What's the name of that song? A Burning Heart. And it says, you sound like a Christian lyric. I don't think they're a Christian band. He said, and it just touched me. He said, in a warrior soul, there's no surrender. Though his body say stop, his spirit cries never. The warrior's heart, there's no surrender. While his body says stop, his spirit cries never. Deep in my soul, a crying ember. Knowing it's you against you, it's a paradox that tries the soul. That's not a Christian band, but those are awesome lyrics. I just had that song on repeat the whole night, the whole afternoon. Something about my spiritual DNA, it doesn't know quit. It doesn't know stop. It doesn't know retreat. In the warrior's soul, there's no surrender. The body says stop, his spirit cries never. That, my friend, is the gospel of the kingdom. So we live a life of progression into him, not a life of progression outside of him, but into him. He said, if our heart condemn us not. This is the immutability and the sovereignty and the absolute God. As long as that verse is there, I got hope every single morning that I wake up. Every morning I have hope. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what this is or that is, this is my hope that my God is immutable. He cannot change. This is the sovereign will of God, his absolute word. Listen to what John said about the word of God, about the Christ, or about Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says this, and let the word of God, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or be absent, that you may hear, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. So I stopped the other day. I said, I got to see in context, in this chapter, in this book, what it is to strive for the faith of the gospel. The answer has to be in front of me in black and white. I've gone through Philippians probably 700 times in my life. The answer has to be. Now, we know the faith is to walk according to Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know that. He says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So I got stubborn. Like Pastor David said, I pitched my tent, drove the cords in the ground, and I stayed there till I could find out what Paul would label as striving together for the faith of the gospel. Lo and behold, the answer was in that same verse. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is striving for the faith. That your conduct be worthy of the gospel of the, you strive for that faith living out of Christ in you. And you strive by that faith that your conduct be worthy of the gospel. The King James says, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. The New King James says, let your conduct, Homer, let your behavior be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is striving for the faith. We're never moved by what we see or don't see. We're moved by the word of God. We quote the word of God. Now, through the righteous spirit that we have, we strive for the faith of the gospel. And all of chapter 2 of Philippians is instruction on how to strive for the faith of the gospel. That word strive in the Greek means to wrestle. Wrestle for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 2 of Philippians, all that right there is striving for the faith. Let this mind be in them which are also in Christ Jesus. He became obedient, humbled himself unto death. And then he said, wherefore, since you've obeyed not just in my presence, but in my absence only, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God that worketh in you, but to willing to do for his good pleasure. That, my friends, is striving for the faith of the gospel. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That is striving for the faith of the gospel, living that holy, holy, holy life in front of the world so they can tell that you are different. They can tell that you are a righteous, Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified believer filled with the Spirit of God. That was a side note. Back to 1 John chapter 3. He said, if your heart condemns, now we're going into the progression. We know that the origin of the gospel is power. I overcame drugs. I overcame pornography. I loved one woman again, my wife. In a matter of minutes, all this happened. I'm not like the man of the gatherings that I have 1,000 devils, but I knew I lost a lot of junk that day. Coke, crack, pornography, and I loved my wife instantaneously. That was a powerful origin, powerful beginning. Let's progress from that into the fullness of the kingdom. 1 John chapter 3, if our heart condemn us not, this is the immutability and the sovereignty of God. Don't let any deacon board, if Pastor Bronk teaches you different, he's wrong. If I teach you different, then I'm wrong. This is the immutability and the sovereignty and the absolute will of God. I didn't say it. John recorded it. He took dictation from the Holy Ghost and wrote the book of 1 John. He concluded that God was love based on the conduct of Jesus Christ. John never saw God personally, but he concluded that God was love based on how Jesus conducted himself. That's a powerful testimony. Homer, God is love. Well, why do you say that, Miss Gay? Well, Homer, I can see it in you. Well, that's a, That's a compliment. That John wrote 5 books, 2 John and 3 John, and said God was love based on the conduct of humanity. The man, Jesus Christ. He looked at Jesus. God is love. Everything Jesus spoke was the will of God. Everything he did was the will of God. So John writes this. If your heart condemn you not, then we have confidence toward God. Listen to this. Immutability and the sovereignty and the absolute word of God. This is why you can't tell me. You can't tell me in a debate that I'll never see again. You can't tell me. My confession won't stop. Why? Because my God's immutable, sovereign, and his word is absolute. Listen to what he said. Man, I couldn't walk a month ago. I'm walking. I couldn't move hardly. I'm moving, no medicine, no cortisone shot, no therapy, no nothing. Just some fasting, praying in the Spirit, confessing God's word, and I call Pastor Bronk. Just those 4. So I wake up with hope every day. You can't take my hope from me, man. No matter how religious you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter if you got a master's, a bachelor's, or a doctorate degree in theology, I don't care. I don't care. I know how to read, and I know how to hear, and I have the Holy Ghost, and he is my teacher. And I have a holy book called the Bible on CD. The immutability and the sovereignty of God and the absolute of God is this. If your heart, Homer, condemn you not, then you have confidence toward God. And whatsoever you ask of him, he will what? You don't have it in front of your Bible? Whatsoever we ask, we receive. That is the absolute word of God. If your heart condemn you not, then Homer, you have confidence toward God. Whatever you ask, you'll receive. That is the immutability and the sovereignty of God, man. If there's no way you can believe the gospel and him not answer you. He is not a man that he can lie. If you believe it, it will come to pass. Why? That's what the word of God says. If your heart condemn you not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, receive him. If we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and in conjunction, this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandments. This is his commandment. If you keep his commandments, he abideth in you and you in him. And by this we know that he abideth in us because he has given us of his spirit. See, we've slaughtered love. We see you got to love more. Love means one thing, man, to keep his commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments, you're fooling and deceiving yourself. The striving of your life should be of your faith, Father, I love you. I worship you. I'm going to love Harry. I'm going to love Gay in you. How? What validates that I love Miss Gate or that I love Miss Candy or that I love Marty? What validates it that I love them because I give them a hug? No. No. Prostitutes give people hugs. That don't mean they love them. That's not love. What validates that I love Miss Gay, Marty, Abby, Renee, Sarah, what validates that I love them is that I keep God's word. That, my friends, is love. Nothing else is love. A nice hand, not that handshake or that hug might be a fruit of love, but true love is to keep the commandments of God and to love like Jesus loved. It's good that we can conduct ourselves and not manifest the anger. That's good. That's sort of good. That's good. What we're after is the internal. What stirs us up to be angry. That's what we're after. It's good. It's good that you didn't manifest your anger. But did you walk on the other side of the church when you seen that person? Did they irk you when you seen them? That has to go. The day that Mr. Biden called Easter Transgender Visibility Day, did you get mad at him? Or did you get mad at the platform? Did you despise him? Did you despise the platform? That's a touchy subject there with people. I despise the platform. And I actually prayed for him. If you don't think Jesus wants that man born again, you don't know your scripture. He wants Mr. Trump born again. He wants Kamala Harris born again. He wants them all born again. We're to abhor evil and to cleave that to that which is good. We can hate platform, and I hate that platform. I hate that little boys will be turned into girls. I hate that the nuclear family is being destroyed. And I got news for you. People won't like this. I'm not for equality. In other words, there's 20 people that got to be hired. You got to hire 6 blacks, 6 brown, and 6 whites. That's 18, Homer. I missed 2. No, I'm for hiring qualified people. Not by skin color. I don't care if a quota's met or it's not met. You hire them because they're qualified. I would not be a popular politician. I'd be shot. Because I'm going to preach the truth. I don't care about DEI or diversity, equality, and inclusiveness. No, that don't mean nothing to me. You can't get into the kingdom of God by DEI. You got to be born again. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God because you're brown, because you're a minority, because you're black, because you're white. No, you're going to get into the kingdom of God because you've been born again, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. So I don't care if you get mad at me, who you are, black, brown, white. And some of my friends believe that, well, you got to hire a certain amount of black people, brown people. No, you don't. No, you don't. You hire qualified people. That's what Christians believe. Are you with me? All right. I told him to say that just so you'll know. In closing with this, if a heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, singular. We should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He just goes on to the next verse that tells us what it is to love one another. It's not what the church preaches as loving one another. He said, we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And whoso keepeth his commandment abideth in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abideth in us because he's given us of his spirit. Loving you means that I love him. If I'm not loving him, I'm deceiving myself and not really loving you. Everything generates with my relationship with Abba Father through faith in Jesus Christ. That's our progression. We go from overcoming sin to laying all our life down. The love of God will forgive me for my speech, and I'm stuttering because of yesterday. But it's a progression all into God. Laying down our life, man. Counting our life but dung. Our wants but dung. Who may know Christ and be found in him. I've never wanted my life. I want to reach this point in these closing words. The immutability and the sovereignty and the absoluteness of God is his word. We can believe his word. It's going to come to pass. That's why I know that revival is within our grasp, because if we believe it, it's going to happen. It can't do nothing but be fulfilled if we keep pressing in. The fullness of the kingdom will come. We keep pressing in. But I want to get to the point in this, in these last statements in my walk with Christ. Yes, we've been made righteous through his obedience. Yes, we've overcome sin. Yes, I love my wife again. No more pornography. No more crack cocaine. No more cocaine. Good. Goody, goody gumdrop. That happened the first week of regeneration. Now there's a progression to lay all our life down. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. That Christ, this is where I want my faith to be. That Christ may be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what I want. That's why I'm fasting now more than I ever have. I tell you, when I get off this dialysis, the fasting lifestyle better really, really, really watch out. Because I'm going in, man, like never before. I can't now because of... Anyway. But on my days off, you better believe I am. Because Homer, you're done with, buddy. You're done with. It's time to manifest the Christ. To manifest his glory, his kingdom, Christ in me, the hope of God's glory, manifested in our inner man to the world, that they may know that we are sons of God. He said, if our heart condemn us not, here's the immutability of God, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, kingdom come, we shall receive. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keep his commandments like Jesus kept them. The new covenant is an affair of the heart. It's an affair of the heart. It's good that we don't manifest certain sins. That's good. It's even better if you were under law, but no. It's all an affair of the heart. We deal with internal stuff. We get rid of that irky feeling. We get rid of anything that wants to even talk back. We get rid of that thing that even wants to respond or holds an offense. We get rid of it just because we didn't manifest it. That's good. But it's even better when there's nothing in you to forgive them for. You just want to, so what, okay, Ms. Gay talked about me. So what? So what? It doesn't matter. We're after all that he has for us. Internally, not just not to manifest feelings, but not to have those feelings at all. That's the progression into Jesus Christ. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God in whatsoever we ask. Listen to that. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandments. And whoso keepeth his commandment abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we do know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. My friends, we want it all. We want it all. I want it all. I'm sure you do too, because you're here. A progression into God. Every day we progress into him by doing the four pillars. Fasting, worship, the Bible, giving them all we got. It's a walk. It's a walk. But a walk that I will finish this. I will finish this. And I'm right here with you, Pastor. It's all the people. We've got to see it. We've got to see it. We've got to see it. We've progressed in the Spirit with miracles. We've seen some pretty incredible things. But if you behold the lifestyle of Jesus and the apostles, everybody that came before them, they were all healed. In his humanity, he did it. I got news for you. We're all humanity. We're human beings filled with the Holy Ghost. We have a Bible. We know how to fast. We know how to worship. Not that we're trying to be noticed. We just want God to be glorified. Let me tell you one thing. When revival breaks out, our Father will be glorified. glorified through our faith in Jesus Christ and seeing the hand of God, the Holy Ghost, to manifest in this little church and see millions and millions born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and healed of their infirmity. That, my friends, is the kingdom of God. That is the absolute word of God, the immutable, sovereign will of God. We believe it, he will do it. Don't cut him short. Don't get logical. Don't contradict. If you don't have it quite yet, it's because we don't believe it. We just got to fast and pray more and more to die to self to see the kingdom manifest. Thank you for working with me. Forgive me for my speech, my stuttering a little bit. I had a pretty intense dialysis treatment yesterday, pretty intense, and it's just by the grace of God, by the grace of God that I'm here today teaching and preaching to you. Thank you, God, for Holy Spirit, for bringing these scriptures up to my mind. Because I don't sit at home and try to memorize scripture. I don't. I just read them and hear them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I can't do it without you. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. That word another is a Greek word, allos, one just like me. I'm going to send you. Amen. So, Pastor Brown, thank you for this. I had a good time. Again, thank you for bearing with me in my speech, but thank you. I love all of you.
Hallelujah. Well, there's not ever a time that Homer, when he ministers, that I don't get edified and get incredibly encouraged. And so thank you so much, Homer. We appreciate it. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about encouraged by the Word of God and by just knowing that what he's asking from us and the encouragement that, you know, I said last night, and it's just exactly, there was so much wonderful things said, but I was sharing with a group in Brazil, and I said, I see the harvest in my prayer time, and I see the vision, and I see in front of me the promise of what is coming. And when I say the harvest, I'm talking about the revival, the fullness of the kingdom. But I see in front of me him standing in front of that harvest and asking, he's asking us to go and receive the harvest, but not without first receiving his fullness. And there's something higher in his heart than, we talk about the vision, a bigger building, a bigger, receiving all the things that come with revival. But he's still standing right there on that line saying, what I want from all of you more than anything else is to live a life that's full of death to the flesh, continue crying out, Lord, today help me, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So I appreciate the message. It only encourages me to go in stronger, more diligently, and continue to give my life. And so I appreciate that, because I believe that is the heart's desire of everyone that's watching and everyone here. Great job, Homer. Thank you all for being here. Let's all stand. I want to bless you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this grace and the continuation of your word. And Lord, I thank you, as Homer said, the absolute, just nailed it in teaching us once again, the absolute, not varying in any way, because you are immutable, you are unchanging, and we thank you that this gospel is absolute. It'll come to one end. We bless the people. We bless our time together. We thank you for it. Bless all those that have watched and part of this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday.